informative, and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Friday the 29th of July, 2022, and I am a happy little Irishman. Why, you might be asking, because George Soros and Bill Gates have funded a think tank to spread disinformation lists, and I'm on the list. Yes, Rick Munn is on the list. And I'm not joking, by the way. So that's why I'm really excited. George Soros and Bill Gates have funded a UK Ireland-based think tank to list all the major disinformation spreaders and broadcasters. So I've actually moved from being a spreader to a broadcaster and still a spreader of disinformation. And I am so happy about that. You just wouldn't believe it. And a big thank you to Bill Gates this morning to me, and a salute. You have increased my Twitter following already today by putting me on your naff little list, as if anyone actually gives a damn about your list. But yeah, label me all you like. Say what you like. And if you have a real problem with me, you know, I'm here Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. UK time. Bill, I know you're listening. So get your PA, your bitch, to get in contact with our studio and make an appointment, and you and me will go at it head to head, live on air, TNT radio. Yes, I'm up for it. Are you up for it, Bill? You got a spine? You got anything dangling between your legs? I think not. You're probably a eunuch who's had their spine removed. You're a disgusting little perverted weasel who gets off on maiming and killing children. And I would love to bump into you in a dark alleyway somewhere with no CCTV cameras to have a conversation, of course. I wouldn't be doing anything physical, like wringing your scrawny neck. No, those days are gone. Yes, I'm a mature broadcaster now who's made the disinformation list. Woo! Anyway, yes, life is good. What I have to say today, well, I'm blessed. Firstly, I made the list. Secondly, I get to come on TNT Radio and work with Jeff in the studio. I gave him a task to do yesterday, a simple little task that would have taken him 3 minutes to listen to a song, and he comes out, oh no, I'm too busy. Jeff, up your game, son. All right, I'm calling you out live on air, right? No excuses. You better listen to that song by the end of this shift, or I will be requesting you get moved to Sky News Australia. They may pay you more money, but trust me, son, you will be having such a good time over there. You know what I mean? But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Natalie Cheele is waiting in the wings like a highway woman waiting to pounce out on a stagecoach and hold a musket up to their head and say, stand and deliver your money or your life. That's first off. Then we've got Dr. Bruce Scott, who's a Scotsman as well as being a Scot in name. He's going to be joining us again. And then my old friend Jesse Smith, who is the curator of the Truth Unmuted website from Houston in Texas. He's going to be joining me for the last hour of the show. Quick blitzkrieg on some news articles. UK news, UK heatwave. Come on, give me a break. The weather forecasters have reported unprecedented trolling. So they're crying because they've been trolled this week because of their Nav and Mickey Mouse allegations of a heat wave that will kill tens of thousands of people. We were talking about that last Friday. It's now this Friday. It lasted all of about an hour and a half. It didn't even come to Northern Ireland. And yeah, it's a joke. Now they're being trolled allegedly by people calling them out for what they are on the mainstream media. Good. They deserve everything they get. The UK government is in line for a £1 billion payout from their NatWest group stake. So the government invests in a bank. The bank makes money. The money gets passed back to the government to the tune of £1 billion. And you know what? The government doesn't actually, you know, as a collective exist. What do they have? A bank account called the government with a PIN number and a hole in the wall card? No, that money will be filtering its way back into the pockets of those disgusting rats that run our country, aka the government. And, you know, that's par for the course. Newspaper headlines and the BBC, that other disgusting organization, they say that energy companies are profiting in misery, and my goodness me, they are. Shell's profits are up to $12 billion a year. Centrica's profits are up to $1.5 billion a year, almost triple from what they were last year in the UK. While we're in the middle of a so-called energy crisis, they're profiting off misery. That is 100%. Sky News is reporting that people should go on holiday to Portugal. Jacob Rees-Mogg has said this. What a name, eh? Jacob Rees-Mogg. Should go on holiday to Portugal to avoid queues at Dover. Let me give you a suggestion. I don't care where you live. And I'm not saying don't take a holiday, but stay put. Save yourself the energy. Save yourself the time. Save yourself the money and the stress. And, you know, okay, it would be nice to go away. It would be nice to sit on a beach for a week or two. Yeah, I get that. But if you really must, do it. But think twice before you move, because they're trying to make the whole experience as unpleasant as possible, as expensive as possible, and as demoralizing as possible. So my strategy for 2 years has been plant my little feet on the ground in Ireland and don't budge. And it served me well, because do I sound stressed out to you? Do I look stressed out to you? No, I'm a happy little Irishman, remember? Because I have a strategy and it works. So do as I say, and trust me, your life will improve. I should be a lifestyle guru. If Jordan Peterson can make millions out of it, would people not pay me billions? Billions? I don't know. Maybe I'd be arrested. I don't know. But anyway, enough about me and George Soros and Bill Gates. We're meeting up later for coffee, by the way. Yes, they're going to try and turn me. Yeah, they're going to try and turn me. TNT Radio, do you know? In fact, you should know this. And if you don't know this, shame on you. And if I haven't done this, greater shame on you. We have an app that you can download from the App Store or the Google Store onto your phone or your computer or whatever it is that you use to listen to our wonderful output. Download it. It's mandatory. We are mandating it. It's not legal, but we're mandating it, and we're mandating it for every listener, and every listener has to download it under their mother, father, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, cousin, and dog's mobile phone, or else there'll be trouble, because we're monitoring people as well. We have people on the ground keeping an eye on things out there in the real world. So download our app, listen, and spread the word about the one and only, the great, the phenomenal TNT Radio.
Real talk when you need it most.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Natalie, the floor is yours. I've said enough. I'm not going to talk for the next 3 hours. It's over to you. I'm going to listen to you. What do you want to say?
I'm all good. I survived the climate change emergency for a couple of days. I saw this morning we've got another emergency alert put out, an amber warning this time from the AA about traffic. So we all got to be very, very scared and fearful about not moving anywhere in the country. We've got an amber warning for that. We've got a monkeypox vaccine rollout that has started in London. If you saw that, by Sadiq Khan put out a tweet saying, please, please come get your monkeypox vaccine. I bet you're going to be rolling up for that one as soon as you can, aren't you, Rick?
Oh, yeah, I've had mine already. I've had four, you know, one in each arm and one in each ass cheek. I can't get enough of it.
No, exactly.
And I'm going back next week for another four. Yeah, because I'm that way inclined. Yeah, I'm just, they tell me what to do and I just do it, because that's the way you have a nice, easy life, isn't it? You just zone out and do as you're told.
Just do as you're told and everything will be okay in the end, Rick. Believe and trust your government. They have your best interests at heart.
Doesn't it make things so much worse? You give them an inch, just half an inch, a quarter of an inch, and they take a mile, and then another mile, and another mile.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in this position, Natalie. It's not because of the government. It's not because of the WEF, the WHO, Tedros, Trudeau, Ardern. You name them all, we could name it. No, they're not to blame. We're to blame as a collective. We have enabled this and allowed this to happen. The fault lies at our collective feet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I saw over the last couple of weeks, doctors, very few of them, coming out saying about the trans movement, that you need to start speaking out, because that this is now a worrying trend, that that people are mutilating themselves, young people, without having real any understanding. They want to start opening new gender assignment hospitals everywhere, and they're like, if you don't speak out now, what does this hold for the future generation? This isn't now just about your career. This is more important than that. And we've seen that with lockdowns too. If people don't speak out at the right time, it just gets worse and worse and worse till the point you can't really come back from it.
No, and here's the thing, okay? My big issue with that is the fact that it is being seeded into children as low as in preschool, 4 years, 3-4 years of age. And there are deviants. And I call them deviants because their agenda is to subvert the minds of children or seed into the minds of children that they should be questioning their identity. Now, if you grow up, Natalie Chiel, and you come on next week, right? And you say, well, from now on, I'm Nate. And I think I'm a guy. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to fall out with you about that, but I won't accept it. I won't call you a man because I know you're not. You're a woman, right? That's just my view on it. But I'll respect your lifestyle. And if you're doing it and not hurting anybody, like I'm living my life and I'm not hurting anybody, fine. But this seeding into children and this drag story times that we're having in libraries that parents not only are bringing their children to, some of them in Northern Ireland are paying £3 admission to bring their children to this. And the drag queens are being paid £400 an hour by the government to do these shows. What do you think about that?
So it's the government, is it, that's pushing it? Because I wondered who was pushing these shows, because it's
local
a real
councils
worry
are paying up to £400 per hour, hour for them to do it.
I don't know if you saw the article this week. There was one. I live in Reading, and outside Reading Library, there was a protest this week, and the police moved everyone on from one of these drag story times. You know, I don't know how I feel about this, because at the same time, I'm not sure I was comfortable with people shouting and screaming outside when there are children there either. So that I'm in two minds how that works. You know, at the end of the day, they're still innocent children. I think the protest would have been better off at a different time. But I wasn't aware. It just seems very strange that these drag story times are popping up everywhere. And now it makes sense that you're saying it's being pushed by the government, which means it's being having an agenda. And you spoke earlier about being indoctrinated. Well, I grew up, I'm an autistic girl. I was a real, as many autistic girls are, a real tomboy. Complete and utter. There was nothing girly about me at all growing up. You know, I was always with the blokes, always watching football, even as a teenager in my 20s. You know, and I know now the highest rate of transitioning is for autistic girls turning into boys, because they are being told they're not being treated, if you like, or diagnosed with autism or mental health. They're being told, oh, no, there's something wrong with you. It must be your gender. Now, if I was myself, I could have nowadays been put into this indoctrination. And that is a real worry for me. It's...
Because you're vulnerable. A teenager, listen, when I was a teenager, I had long hair, all right? I had long hair. I used to use hair straighteners and hairspray. I was into metal and I wore skin-tight jeans from the back when I wasn't so fat. I looked like a chick, all right? Not that I was trying to be one, but I'm just saying I've changed a lot since I was 16 and 17 and 18 and 19. You're a ball of hormones as well as anything else. Yeah. 1 minute you're this and the next minute you're crying and then you're laughing and then you're running and you're sitting. That's teenage life per se. Your body's really changing massively between what, 12 and around about 18. It's crazy. It's not easy being a teen. And then you have all this influence coming in from outside, putting seeds into your head, and then there's groups form, and then of course you want to associate with a group or run with a certain crowd, so you fall in, and these people know it. That's why they know they can influence. So I'm very much of the opinion that, you know, if you grow up and you're an adult and you're wrestling with things and you want to, and if it makes you comfortable to live a certain lifestyle, well then fill your boots. I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with people coming into schools and starting at the age of 3 to 4, trying to indoctrinate children that they should be questioning their sexuality. When I was at school in P4, If a teacher had told me, "Hi, I'm Miss Such and Such, and I've been out with my girlfriend or boyfriend at the weekend, and we copulated," hell's bells, they would have been shot. They would have been shot.
Back when I was at school, we didn't even know our teacher's first name. You know, like we at primary school, yeah, secondary school, was excited when you're like, "Oh, we don't know that." Now they're telling their sexual preference to young children. How is that appropriate in any way at all? I don't know how we've got to this point. You know, because for me, like you said, if you're an adult, I don't care what you do and how you lead your life, as long as it's consensual and it's not against children, I've got absolutely no problem. But there's no right for, we see it more in America particularly, we see a lot of these videos coming out of teachers saying I'm putting this into the classroom, I'm putting the pride flag, I'm putting the trans and gender identity, and I'm like, that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for children. They should be innocent. You know, I remember in primary school, you didn't even get any sex education until you were in the last year. And then you had to have a letter come out and your parents had to agree whether they were consented to you doing that. Whereas now there's none of that. It's just being pushed on them regardless.
We didn't even get anything until secondary school. And I tell you what, when they did educate us, it was brutal. It was some NAV Czechoslovakian porn movie that they put a narration to, and they showed it in biology class. I was like, what's he doing for her? What's he doing? What's she doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's no way to learn either. We've got to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we'll pick up on this and run with it up until our news break at the half hour mark. Yep. Natalie Chill, Rick Munn, TNT Radio, Lock and Loaded. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
I'm starting to suddenly realize that, just for example, the internet, if I'm following correctly, it's changing the fabric of reality.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It's changing everything about the fabric of everything, most particularly what a person thinks a person is and what we think we are and how we experience our reality. I mean, for one thing, the phone here, which I set this morning so I could wake up and not miss this. This contains memories, right? We outsource thought, memory, navigation of the world. We take part of our brain, a large part of our brain, and assign it to this thing, not finding out how to get around town yourself. And instead, we have a disembodied voice telling us how to get places.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
For the news and talk you can't hear anywhere else.
It gives you some awareness of what's really going on,
where things are at, even around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
TNT. Oh, I love our jingles. They're so cool. And coming up to the news, it's real heavy metal. It's great. Isn't it great?
I love
music. I love heavy metal. I'm an unapologetic metalhead
as well. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to, yeah. Like, I live just by Reading Festival as well. So it's like proper rock night as well on Sunday on Reading Festival.
Did you listen to the Sisters of Mercy?
No, I didn't. That's a bit probably. No.
Well, then you weren't a goth. Stop telling me you're goth. No. If you haven't listened to Sisters, you ain't no goth. You're a faux pseudo wannabe goth.
I was like System of a Down era and things like that. That was.
Do you know what? I listened to one of their songs on the way home called Toxicity, and it is absolutely fantastic.
See, watch the video for that as well. My taste isn't that bad.
It's not bad, but they're not goth. Listen, you and I need to have an hour-long re-education, reprogramming session. I'll tell you what music is what. That ain't goth. That is like what was called nu metal. N-U-metal.
Correct, yeah.
Well, listen, trust me on this one. One of my favorite albums of all time is by a band called the Sisters of Mercy, who were based out of Leeds, all right? And they have an album called Floodland. Oh, my goodness. It is an epic. It's 1985, it was released. What's that? 37 years ago, Hell's Bells. But anyway,
I was only three then. I was only free, so you got to give me some benefit there.
You better. You better. Yeah. And in fact, Jeff actually has now completed his listening assignment. This band I told him to listen to called Tesla, who are like an 80s super cheesy rock band. And I love cheese. I love cheesy rock. I love cheesy movies. I love cheesy stuff as a counterbalance to all this heavy stuff that we're talking about here. But anyway, Sisters of Mercy, Floodland for you. And now the great radio controversy by Tesla, weekend listening for Jeff. I like to push my tastes onto my guests. Do you feel uncomfortable with that?
No, not at all. As long as you're not going to mandate it and give me a digital iCurt Deco to come onto the show.
We're working on the technology right now. Trust me, I'm working on it. I love a wee bit of power myself. Listen, to see if I wasn't one of the good guys, I'd be a phenomenal globalist dictator. I would be brilliant. I would be so brutal and ruthless and so charismatic and nasty and evil and wicked, and deaths would be everywhere, but not anymore. I've mellowed out a little bit in my old age and saw the light, Natalie, much like yourself, really.
I was always been a rebel. I've never really followed the rules.
No, and neither you should. Rules, in my humble opinion, were made to be broken. And let's jump back on track here, by the way. Yeah. It's nice to veer off track, though, isn't it? Isn't it nice to meander off topic and talk about what we feel like? Because I think people are interested in the not-so-topical stuff and the personal stuff and, you know, the background stuff. It's nice to learn a little bit more about your guests and your studio people and your presenters, isn't it? Isn't it nice?
Well, I think it gives you a background knowledge of where people are coming from as well, because I think that's where we've gone wrong with society. It's like a more personal approach. We don't want to beat people to be robots and a number. We want to see them as individuals with different likes and tastes. And you might not agree with them, but it makes them real.
Exactly. And I mean, like, let's face it, there's no two. If you and I sat for long enough and talked about enough topics, well, there'd be things we won't agree on. But I'm not going to fall out with you about it. And I would like to think, you know, in reverse, that you wouldn't do the same. And I know you wouldn't. I know you're not that kind of person. So unfortunately, by the way, and this is just something relevant, this is one of the problems that we have in maintaining unity. Somebody will pick up something like, oh, she thinks the earth's flat, I can't talk to her. He's had a PCR test, I can't talk to him. He talked to this guy who's a shill, I can't talk to him. Okay, listen, if you want to start throwing rocks, I can dig through everybody's history far enough back and I'll find something that I don't like or I don't agree with or somebody that they associate. What's the point in that? It just drives that wedge further. As long as you're not out and out compromising about the fundamentals, a little bit of flavor and a little bit of varieties, you know, it's the spice of life, isn't it?
Well, tolerance is to me, I mean, they teach that in Buddhism. It's one of the biggest, it's one of the biggest teachings. You have to be tolerant. If you're not a good person if you just don't talk to anyone that doesn't agree with you. That doesn't make you a good person. It's being able to disagree with people, but still respect them and treat them in the right way. And like you said, there are too many people now that, oh, you don't agree with me, well, then I'm just going to block you off. Well, no, have an educated and healthy discussion about it and then agree to disagree. Like I said, there's a couple of things that I can never agree of, and that's obviously in the realms of like paedophilia and stuff like that. Yeah. There are a couple of topics which are completely, you know, and most people would agree on that. But apart from that, that's what life is about. It's about having debates. It's about being able to question things. That's what we're encouraging. Therefore, you know, you're not going to agree with people on everything.
Well said, well said. And I concur with that 100%. The business where we're talking about, that we were supposed to be talking about now, in which we've got 30. In fact, you know what we'll do, actually? We've got to take a news break anyway. We'll talk about it when we come back. Promise. We'll talk about it when we come back after this quick news break on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Darren Metzer here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Australia is being warned to prepare for the increasing chance of conflict with China by the end of the decade. Fighting has intensified in Ukraine, as Europe's biggest conflict since World War II entered its 156th day. And US Congress has passed a landmark bill to boost America's production of semiconductor chips and pump billions of dollars into manufacturing and scientific research, as it seeks to compete with China.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Yep, full back catalog available on the app and on the website, which is pretty awesome when you think about it. We have racked up some serious airtime since January. Think about it, 7 days a week for the last few months anyway, 24/7 live, unrepeated, unpre-recorded programs. There's quite the back catalog out there. And listen, if you've missed shows, or you've missed a guest that you would have liked to hear on anybody's show, just search on the website, put the guest name in, and a list will pop up with every appearance that they've made. So, for example, Natalie, if you like what Natalie's saying today, go onto the website, type in Natalie Cheale, C-H-E-A-L-E, and a full list of all your appearances, of which now there are many, by the way, will appear on the Locked and Loaded website. So there are the Locked and Loaded section of the website. This business of the drag queens, let's bring it back to that. And without getting into what they're up and what they're about, etc., you know, here's the bottom line. The parents are willfully bringing their kids to that. So you can't fight that. Unfortunately, you can't fight it. If they were being forced to bring their kids to it, that's a different thing. But not only are they taking them by the hand, paying £3, some of them are taking selfies with them, the kid, and the drag queen in. You can't fight that, Natalie, unfortunately. You can't fight that. You're nubbled from the inside.
And that's why I said I didn't really know how I felt about the protesting in Reading about the library, because at the end of the day, those parents are making a decision. And I wouldn't feel comfortable knowing children are in there shouting and screaming outside. As you've just said, unfortunately, it's a virtue signaling kind of matter here. They believe, they have been indoctrinated to believe that following this movement, this trans movement, this pride movement makes them a good person. And sometimes people forget that people are only doing what they think is right. And part of that has been a brainwashing. So those parents are going there thinking they are doing the right thing. There's very few parents that are going there that are thinking they're harming their children. That's for sure. They believe they're doing the right thing. And that's where the kind of tragedy of the situation lies, really. Yeah, you know, that it goes to the same thing. You know, it's a complete brainwashing and indoctrination of society in general, which is going to get worse. I mean, funnily enough, I actually went to a drag show on Wednesday evening, and I was going to say, I actually feel sorry for the drag community as well, because they are being put into this kind of bad press, you know. So I went, it's like drag bingo. So it's a full stand-up comedy it's way over 18 plus, the language, everything. That's part of its show. It's an entertainment, but it's nothing to do with, you know, what we're talking about. That
Correct.
Is, and I think it's terrible that, you know, and gay and lesbian people have said this as well, because they've added the LGBTQ and then the IA bit. How is gender identity actually to do anything to do with sexual preference? And they've tried to put it all into one. And a lot of people who are just minding their own business, whether they be gay or just drag queens, actually, who have been drag queens for 20 or 30 years doing their entertainment shows now, are getting terrible press
And who would never have contemplated taking their act into a school, a primary school, and sitting in front of a group of children and reading a book. Now, you can, there's a lot of arguments saying, well, it's pantomimes have dragged, you know, every pantomime has one every year. Yeah, that's fine, but they're not flaunting their sexuality or pointing to the children in the audience and saying, by the way, boys and girls, it's okay for you to question who you are, and it's okay for you to dress up in trousers if you're a girl and a skirt if you're a boy. Keep that stuff away from kids. You're a grown adult, right? So you want to go and see a drag queen, and that's fine. You had a good night out. Nobody was harmed. You had a laugh. You came home. The drag queen did their thing. They got paid. Bish, bash, bosh. Not an issue. But if the show was over and the drag queen said, hey, guys, let's pile on down to the local library. I'm about to talk to a group of kids and see. That's my problem as a kid. And I know that's where you're coming from. I'm not transphobic. I'm not homophobic. I had a guy on yesterday who I love the bits, Dr. Kevin Corbett, who's a gay man. And he and I were really digging into the demonization of gay people on the back of monkeypox, saying it's men who sleep with men. They won't call them gay men who sleep with men, bisexuals. And he made the point. He said, well, you're trying to tell me the heterosexuals aren't out there sowing their wild oats with multiple sexual partners this weekend? If not, more so than the gay community are doing. And we really dug into this in depth, and he feels the same way. And that's, as a gay guy, I have no problem with people's lifestyles as long as they're not hurting anybody else. I may not practice it myself or necessarily agree with it, but so what? It's none of my damn business.
Two of my very best friends are in men in a relationship. I go stay with them. We go out for a laugh. We go to drag. Yeah. They have said they don't agree with this push on the pronouns and drags in school and all of this thing. You know, and that's why I'm saying it's such a shame, because they're pushing it on a community that doesn't. It's only an extreme part of the community and not the whole community itself. And it's giving it's giving other people a bad name. And I just think the whole thing is worrying. It's brainwashing, indoctrination that not even the whole community agrees with.
They don't. And in fact, there's groups, by the way, and fair play to them, there's groups of, it's like Gays Against Indoctrination, massive sites where they're, and other, by the way, there's a lot of drag queens have came out dressed in full drag to say, we don't agree with this. We think this is wrong. This should not be done. This is an adult performance, and, you know, it shouldn't be watered down and put in cotton wool and introduced to children. So that's coming from drag queens, and that's coming from large groups within the gay and lesbian community. So it's not just the heteros have a problem with this. Everybody with a sane brain in their head has a problem with this now.
Yes, because pantomime, if you remember going to pantomime, it was a man dressed as a woman, but they had this like over the top dress that touched the floor. You know, like that, even if they're kind of their boobs were out, it was like not in the same way.
Yeah.
Their makeup wasn't sexualized. So the difference with a drag queen is they're wearing mini skirts, you know, heels that are 4 inches long. That they are sexualized makeup, sexualized like the way that normally low cut top. It's just completely and utterly. Do you know what? It wouldn't matter if it was a drag queen or if it was a heterosexual dressed as a normal woman doing the same. It makes no difference. It's not appropriate for children to witness. And I'm
using the pantomime thing as well, you know, because that's the argument that seems to be fielded out there. Oh, well, you know, you take your kids to the pantomime. Yeah, okay. Well, let me say this as a father, right? As a father, if I took my daughter to a pantomime and the drag queen came down off the stage and started twerking in front of my daughter and asked her to shove, you know, a £20 note into her thong, it would be, daddy would be in jail for murder.
Yeah, it's just completely and utterly inappropriate. And I don't know, it worries me that so many parents have got on board with this without question. It's like we've said before, so many people now have got this belief that the government and the media have our best interests at heart. And if they're telling us to do it, then you do it without question. And as you said, all these parents take them willingly.
That's the problem. And it goes back to what we were talking about at the start. The problem is not the drag queens. The problem is not the local councils. The problem is not the agenda. And the problem is the parents that are docilely and docilely, hand in hand, taking their children to this with a smile on their face, paying money, and then putting promotion for it on social media and saying, hey, look where we were today. And listen, oh my Lord. This is the real enemy we face. And I'm not talking about people that, because listen, I've been brainwashed in the past about stuff. I've got things horribly wrong and then I've came to my senses, right? So it can happen to the best of us, me included. But the level to which this is happening and the reach that this has now, that's what's disturbing me, all right? It's the fact that it's almost becoming, in their words, the new normal.
It is becoming the new normal. And what's so worrying for me, I'm writing a piece on Substack at the moment about Ooh. Like my childhood. Because it just gives you a bit longer to express yourself and write longer than a 280 tweet character tweet. But what I'm writing about at the moment is indoctrination in my own childhood. I led an abusive childhood. My parents, there was, you know, I did not have a loving childhood whatsoever. I was told on a daily basis that you're a failure, you're a disappointment, you're a problem, you're a weirdo, you'll never amount
they
to
lied.
Anything.
They lied. You're brilliant.
Yeah. But what I do know from that is it is a form of brainwashing and indoctrination when you hear that. And it's been very, very hard for me to, it becomes a belief system. It became my belief system, and it's hard to come out of that in the same way. Yeah. And that's why I know how much indoctrination and brainwashing in childhood is hard to throw away. It stays with you more than it does. You are impressionable as a kid. If I got told that now, it would, you know, that I was a failure and stuff, it would just wash, you know, yeah, whatever. But yeah. It doesn't when you're a child. Things stay with you, and it's hard to leave. And I think that is what's so worrying about this new normal. There are going to be many children that are scarred, that are mentally disturbed, that have mental health problems from this agenda that's being pushed. Yeah. Children are innocent, and they should not be pushed with, you know, sexual preferences and gender identity. And the problems that we are going to have with this indoctrination and brainwashing moving forward is really, really worrying.
They know if they can get the kids, they have the next generation, because the kids will grow up to be adults and it's not checked and the stoppers aren't put on it. And then sadly, Natalie, then the adult who has been indoctrinated will then carry on that cycle with their own children, saying this is so and so. And unfortunately, that's the cycle of abuse, and it's from time immemorial. It's nothing new or unique. It's just happening on a greater scale right now.
And that goes back to what I was saying about abuse. That's why so many you call about the cycle of abuse. You see it with working class kind of council people. There is a cycle of abuse. They have an alcoholic mum. Then they become the alcoholic. My best friend that died. She was previously an alcoholic. Her mum was an alcoholic. Her gran was an alcoholic. And this is the same type of cycle, you know. If we don't stop it now, then and it goes. A lot of people have put about the depopulation agenda that so many people talk about. If so many people do go and change their gender, it's part of the depopulation. If that's what they want to push in indoctrination, so many people are going to be sterile.
They
so
are.
You want to go and maim yourself and.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sadly, you see with the maiming, and, you know, it kind of breaks my heart when I see some of the pictures that are online and some of the accounts that I've read, especially if young girls, they're standing there with their shirts off after they've had double mastectomies, and there's just this Frankenstein scar right across their chest, and Natalie, none of them are smiling. They're all the sad, hollow eyes, and it's tragic. And there was some girl on an ad yesterday I saw, and it was just on a billboard. I think it was in Germany, and it was a young girl who identified as a guy called Jason, and not only had she this massive mastectomy scar, but on both arms, like I've never seen anything like this. The cutting from the deltoid right the way down to the wrist on both arms, there must have been thousands of self-inflicted, but that was standing there proudly as on a billboard for other teenage boys and girls to see. And yet, if you and I were to take out a billboard and say the COVID vaccine kills, you and I would be deplatformed, possibly fined, get a visit from the police. But to promote mutilation? Oh, no problem, Natalie. You promote away.
And there's a whole movement. I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter. Again, they're probably getting censored for it, but there are people, I think it's called the detransitioning movement. Mm-hmm, so they transitioned and realized that they were, it was wrong, that they were told the wrong thing, that they basically were indoctrinated in brainwashing. They've had the genitals removed, some of them, and they will never, ever be able to get their life back. And it's just horrific stories.
I've seen that. I've seen that. And there was a young guy had went through the, I can't remember his name, but he's a brilliant Twitter page, and he puts a massive thread on it with all the information on it. And to be honest with you, when I read the whole thing, and I don't know the guy, obviously, but genuinely, and I'm not just saying this to be, you know, sensations, but genuinely was really moved for him, because what he cataloged that he's experiencing on a daily basis now, the confusion, the regret, the remorse, the permanency of what happened, it's horrendous. In fact, I'm going to dig that out, or if you can dig that out, we'll give that guy a shout out on Twitter. Yeah. We're going to take a real quick ad break. In fact, have a search. If you're on your phone, don't bother. Actually, I'll look it up on my phone, but I'll make sure I give this guy a shout out anyway, and a little bit of promotion just so people can at least go into this with their eyes open. This is TNT. We like keeping our eyes open here on TNT Radio and our ears, but we don't like keeping our mouths shut, and we never will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The midterms, and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In between gaslighting Americans that we're not in a recession and gas prices are Putin's fault, the White House is furiously and futilely trying to get out ahead of the electoral tsunami that's hurtling toward them at 100 miles an hour by asserting that, quote, Joe Biden isn't on the ballot this November. Just be honest. In 2018, all we heard was that the midterms were a referendum on Donald Trump. Just be honest. This November, Joe Biden absolutely is on the ballot, and so are his policies. Just be honest. The walls are closing in. Embattled Speaker Pelosi's husband had to sell his chip stocks after outrage. New text messages today showed that Hunter Biden threatened a drug dealer just days before entering rehab. Other text messages show that Joe Biden is indeed the big guy. Just be honest. If it were Donald Trump and any of his children doing these things, they would not only already be indicted, they'd be serving life imprisonment. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A Rasmussen Report survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters conducted in March 2022 found 52% of voters thought it likely that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. 40% of voters thought that it was unlikely. Breaking this down further, 33% said cheating was very likely, 19% said somewhat likely, and 13% said somewhat unlikely, and 27% saying it was very unlikely. This contrasts with news media claiming there is no evidence of vote fraud. A broad range of people believe that there was significant vote fraud. Men, women, all age groups, whites and non-whites, Republicans, those who are neither Republicans nor Democrats, all income groups except those making over $200,000 per year, all educational groups except those who went to graduate school, and all job categories.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, apologies and shout-outs in that order. Natalie, I apologize to you firstly. I didn't even tell people your surname, who you are, what you do, whatever, in case they're brand new to the show. This is the one and only Natalie Cheel, who lives in a place called Reading in the UK, but she also inhabits a place that only she lives in. It's called the World of NC, and it's on Twitter. So you can hook up with her on Twitter at World of NC. And the Substack you talked about, what's the address for that?
It's the same.
Tell us that. So it's World of NC on Substack. Yeah. Right, yeah. Happy days. That's nice and simple. I have a guest called Ian Davis, right? And Ian has had the most convoluted bloody screen name in hyphen this hyphen together in hyphen this hyphen together.com. And guess what he did? He saw the light and he changed it to iandavis.com. Isn't that amazing? So yeah, so it's nice and simple. Ian, if you're listening, I love you. Mwah. And we'll be talking on her next week. But come on, man, cut out with the hyphens and all that nonsense. So World of NC on Twitter, World of NC on Substack, and sort of relevant to what you're talking about with the drag queens, etc. I have a chum who comes on the show semi-regularly, Big Mick Chaves, Mad Mick Chaves. You know him, the big bald-headed guy who's part of the Kent Resistance. He has a massive profile on Telegram. But anyway, he's been doing a lot of protesting outside these libraries in the UK this week. Has a lot of footage on it. Check out his Telegram if you use Telegram. It's Mad Mix, M-I-X, Conspiracies. You'll see all the footage, the cops taking them in and out under guard in the back doors. That's all mixed footage.
I've seen all that. I just don't know how are the children getting affected. That's my problem with these are nursery kids. I get where you're coming from, right?
And here's the thing. If anything, even there should be maybe a silent protest, no screaming and shouting of voices. But you know what? Isn't it so hard, but to keep your cool these days? I mean, like, I have to really restrain myself. I mean, restrain myself.
No, but it's actually why I wouldn't go, because I've got quite a temper on me, you know, and I wouldn't want to be outside the children's. Read, you know, my language will be terrible. It's just not appropriate. I can't be going to a process going, this is not right for children with my potty mouth. That's not right for children even, Natalie, you know. So
although, to give Mick his credit, he's a big dude, a big scurry dude, but he's super calm. He's super reserved. Yes, he engages the police with humor and with a little bit of tongue in cheek. He doesn't get argy bargy. And in fact, one of the famous video clips of him, the first time I ever seen him, he was protesting in London. And he was standing in the middle of the road blocking traffic, and the cop came up to arrest him, and he said, "I'm arresting you." And he said, "What for?" He said, "Causing an obstruction." He said, "I'm not causing, I'm just crossing the road. I'm stopping to talk to you." And the cop didn't know what to do and had a bit of a laugh. But anyway, that's Mick. And by the way, Mick is, there's a festival, Freedom Festival this weekend, and Mick's going to be at it for Hope School in Sussex, and also the Freds are going to be there performing as well. So just a little bit of a shout out to them. If you're in the Sussex area this weekend, Freedom Music Festival, go along and check it out. Right, let's talk about, what do you want to talk about for the last 8 minutes? What's on your mind? What's burning in your belly?
What about, have you seen the national statistics, the Office of National Statistics have come out, and for the past 10 weeks now, it's the deaths are 10% in the UK over the normal average. Now, that's about 1,000 deaths per week, more than normal over the however many years. Mm-hmm. And of course, what's worrying to me, they've been doing it for how long, the media? Now, normally, surely, that should be investigated in the media. You know,
because
it's not even going to come up. We know why it's not going to come up. We've seen as well. I've got a good friend, Wayne Cunnington, who was on GB News. He's vaccine injured. His account has been taken off Twitter as of this week. The purge of vaccine injured people. So this isn't necessarily people that are talking out against anything else, just telling their injuries. They've all been taken off Twitter. In the same way, they're not reporting these excess deaths. It seems to me there's Mark Stern from GB News, who has been reporting, the only person really TV broadcasting who's been talking about them. He's now having an investigation by Ofcom because he's been investigating it. So it looks like he could be taken off air. There seems to be a concerted effort at the moment to be hiding vaccine injuries and deaths, because why would they not be reporting? That's a massive increase. And to be happening for 10 weeks in a row. There's no excuse.
That's the thing, Natalie. Even if it happened, just let's say, God forbid, it only happened 1 week, just one. If there was a spike like that, a 10% spike in a week, any week of any year, it would automatically trigger, there needs to be a health inquiry. What's happened? What's caused this, etc. But you're talking about 10 weeks in a row, and I've seen it. There's an excess of 10,000 above and beyond what you would normally expect to see. Deaths in the UK over the last 10 weeks, and yet not a peep. And not only have you rightly said that the people that are actually suffering and have lost a relative, a husband or a wife, or even a child, or lost a leg, or lost a job because of this, they're being silenced and deplatformed. And just staying on that topic real quick, there was a story doing the rounds yesterday about four Canadian doctors all within the same medical network had all died this week. Well, it's now updated to five, a triathlete, a 27-year-old woman who was also a physician, has also died as part of the same network. So you have five young, healthy doctors all dropped dead this week in this medical network, close medical network in Canada. And the first thing they say is, it's got nothing to do with the injections. I mean, that's the first thing out of their mouths, which means that that's preempting what everybody is thinking. So you can put as much mud on this. You can try and bury this as deep as you like, Natalie, but people genuinely are not that stupid. They can put two and two together and get four, and that's what's going to happen by year end. It's really starting to crack now.
Yeah, and you must have seen on Twitter as well, there's a man called Gareth Eve, I think it is. He's the husband of Lisa Shaw, who died within a couple of days of taking the first AstraZeneca vaccine. She's one of the only people who've got it actually written on the death certificate that it was absolutely 100% due to the vaccine. And what's interesting with him is when he puts up posts, because I've heard one, he did one this week that said, I'm not anti-vax, I took the vaccine myself at the same time as Lisa. You know, so I'm not somebody who's a so-called anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist but notice none of the pro-vaxxers comment on his, because the evidence is there, because she actually died, because she left her son and him as a widow. They don't want to comment on that one. Well, what can they say to that? Well, it's there.
He should
be taken off Twitter soon.
That AstraZeneca poison is the worst of the worst. And when I actually started making my Twitter videos way back in February last year, I zoomed in on that because so many European countries had expressed concerns on clotting and temporarily suspended its use, to the point now you never hear it mentioned. Obviously, last year at Wimbledon, they were all centre court clapping. The woman who allegedly manufactured this received some award from the Queen and she got a standing ovation. Now it's not there. Do you know what we should do? Do you know what all the people like us should do if they do mandate us to get vaccinated? We should say, okay, I want to be vaccinated, but I want the AstraZeneca jab. And you know what they'll say? You can't have it. I said, no, I want to be vaccinated. Give me AstraZeneca. And they'll say, it's not on the market anymore. And then you say, well, why not? I want it. You asked me to get jabs, so give me the AZ. And it's that bloody dangerous. They don't even give it out to people anymore because it's blatantly obvious the damage that that poison is causing people. So let's think about that as a strategy. We should all demand to be jabbed with AstraZeneca. And I say, oh, it's not available anymore. Oh, really? Why? Why is that? Why aren't we giving it to people anymore?
Just know what the real shame is as well. It was the first available here. And so it went out to most vulnerable people. And that is the real, the most vulnerable people are the more likely to have the problem with the blood clots and stuff.
Correct.
My friend Marcos, you've seen the picture. He's got only got one kidney dialysis. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the clots, he's the one, remember, with the arm, with the huge blood clots, that's seven blood clots everywhere. He still might carry on. It's absolutely disgraceful. And like you said, it's not even available anymore. So they won't even admit it, but they know how dangerous that jab is.
Exactly. I know. Listen, all we can do, as we keep saying, is listen, people need to have informed consent. If after you've learned all the risks, cost-benefit analysis, risk versus reward, at the end of that, if you absolutely still want to have it, well then, yeah, you should be allowed to take it. It's the same as smoking. It kills your lungs and causes this. But if you want to spend 20 quid on a pack of fags with a health warning on it, you're an adult. You should be free to do that, even though it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. And I'm the same. You know, we could all clean our acts up a little bit, but we don't, because we don't live in a nanny state. Okay, so if someone still wants to get jabbed, people say I'm anti-vax. I'm not. I'm pro-information and pro-choice. If somebody wants to get 60 AstraZeneca vaccines stuck up their ass, I don't care. But as long as they know what the possible risks and consequences are before they do it, and the fact that it's not even necessary. Natalie, I'm going to have to hyperventilate for a minute or two. Run downstairs, get a spoonful of honey, take some water, do a quick pee-pee, and then come back for my next guest, all in the space of 3 minutes. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. Speak to you next week. Natalie Cheel, World of NC, TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Rick Munn, back after the break with Dr. Bruce Scott. Don't go away.